So, another person that probably needs no introduction, but I'll try to give him one anyway. Corey. So Corey is here to talk about the physics of soaring and sailing in the gorge, all the things we take for granted, why we can do the things we do. Corey invented kiteboarding with his father, Billy. No big deal, right? And his story really began at age 14 when his father used him as a test pilot in a motorboat towed by a modified hang glider designed to cross Lake Washington. Again, no big deal, right? We've all done that. But eventually he moved on to smaller kites and the gorge in 1994. And now we have him here today to talk to us. And everybody enjoy Corey Fraser.
Can you guys hear me? Sound check? So, any scientists here? Mathematicians? Engineers? Anyone interested at all in the sciences? Crap. So, that means you guys are going to find the flaws in my my math here and my science and all that. It's this presentation, actually, it's funny because I was putting together something and I didn't really know why. I thought maybe I'd present it with a high school physics class or something completely different than this venue. So we're going to see how this goes. And hecklers, I have a weapon, so warning. This is actually not really about kiteboarding, but that picture just struck me as, appropriate for this, just to launch into this discussion. So it's called The Physics of Sailing and Soaring in the Gorge. We're going to talk a little bit about potential energy, kinetic energy, how the wind and the current flows through here, and why it's such a cool place. Let's see if I can work this thing. So overview, we're also going to learn from the natives, because they were here first, and they had stuff to teach us. Dynamic pressure and vectors. Some of you might be reminded of high school or freshman physics, that stuff. Energy and power, and my nitty check ride if there's time, if I don't ramble too long. So paddling isn't new. I brought a paddle. I'm not really a paddler. I don't know why I'm holding it. But so the tribes people, they definitely knew something about paddling. It was primary form of propulsion in their canoes. And now we've got also a beautiful form of paddling roaring through the gorge. So my wife's not here, but I'm going to pick on her a little bit because she's one of these people in the outrigger canoe, and there were the tribes that knew how to do this hundreds of years ago, probably just as well. And they, what did they do? They took a paddle and they stroked it through a couple meters. Meters, I know, for those of us who haven't abandoned the U.S. and gone to Canada already, it's like a meter's like 3 feet, right? So 2 meters. And you're pulling, what did I say, 100 newtons, so 25-ish pounds, and that makes your canoe go forward, right? So you do that once a second, and your canoe is going forward with about 200 watts per person. You pack five paddlers times 200 watts, and you get a kilowatt in your canoe, and you're really cruising, right? Because a kilowatt's like more than a horsepower, and you think you're awesome. So what is there a fine print at the bottom there? Give her a hand. I love it. So there was actually two boats full of women that went. At the end of the summer, they paddled hard, they got in shape, and they won the biggest race on the planet, their age group. So my wife was one of them, and I'm super proud of her. Her name's Sweet. So they know how to harness the power of their muscles to make the canoe go forward. So on my barn, I've got 10 kilowatts of solar, but it's not nearly as lovely to take out on a date as that 1 kilowatt, right? 10 kilowatts, 1 kilowatt. What's more fun on a date, right? Okay, now we're going to get nerdy, and we can skip through some of this. So if you take all the airflow going through the gorge, and you draw a box, like a rectangle. No, this is actually a square. A square mile makes 1.6 kilometers squared. And then you just let the wind blow through that square. Whoops. You end up with about 1.5 gigawatts of wind energy flowing through that square. And then you can compare it to the river flow, which is much slower. Oh my goodness, what happened to the font? It's microscopic font. Holy, Microsoft Windows did something to me on that one. So the river flow, it ends up being about a third as much, but it's a lot more reliable, right? Because you guys know how the wind is kind of finicky. Then you can do some fun vector adding and say 20 knots of wind plus 2 knots of current, and the wind surfers have known this for decades now that you get bigger swell and easier upwind sailing when you add vectors, and it helps you go upwind easier. But it's even more fun in the winter with the what the tribes people call the Chinook winds, I'm told, and the east wind, and that's where the vectors are going in the same direction. So you have to subtract the 2 knots from the 40 knots of wind that you started with, and you get 38 knots, but you're going way fast to Portland that way. So that was another thing that we learned from the tribes people. That one, hang on, there's an equation. Oh, it ran off the bottom. We can skip that one. Because this, well, so that was sailing hundreds of years ago, and this is sailing this summer. Who saw hydrofoil out on the water? Yeah. That's my other new drug. So here you can take that 100 Newton propulsive force out of the kite strings and propel yourself at 10 meters. Who uses meters per second? 10 meters per second? Come on, that's like 25 miles an hour. And there's your kilowatt again. So here's another 1 kilowatt sport that is drawing more people to the gorge and causing us to, I don't know, get out of the office a few hours earlier. So every year there's a fundraiser called KB4C. Am I pointing with the wrong stick? There we go. And raised $1 million over the past 10 years to help survivors of cancer. $1 million. So my small contribution was right here. Well, there was some cash, but there was 6 hours of effort extracting a kilowatt from the wind. And so 6 kilowatt hours adds up to about 70 cents, I think. I'm pretty sure it's under $1. So pretty cheap power for 6 hours of entertainment. I don't know what you call that. But we took off here from Hood River and went up to Stevenson, buzzed back and forth, and 106 miles later. Did you know it was 106 miles to Stevenson and back? When you ride one of those, it can be, right? Okay, but my newest drug, that's only like the last couple of years' drug. This is the drug of the year. I spent my summer learning how to fly an airplane without a motor. So Hood River Soaring, I stole this from the website. I'm not sorry. This is what the Hood River Valley looks like with my Microsoft sketching skills to a glider pilot. So we talked about Post Canyon earlier. When the west wind is blowing, take your mountain bike there. Don't take your glider, because you're gonna sink, and it's a bad day. So the west wind comes across the valley. There's the Hood River down there. We're looking north, cross-section view of the Hood River Valley, and there's a glider enjoying the lift right off of the East Hills. So more vector sump, man, this is going to get dry. So 20 to 1 typical L over D of a glider, and so if it wants 60 knots of airspeed, you better find some place where the wind is going up. It has a vertical component of 3 knots. Right, so the question, you know, out on the river is, what's it like? Is it steady? All that. The glider pilots want to know, is the ridge working today? Right, that was one of the first catchphrases that I learned. And it's true that it's working when that 20-knot wind gets bent by the East Hills, right? It becomes maybe 10 knots, maybe more, with a 5-knot vertical component, which is more than your 3 knots, so you're going up at some angle. Right. These are just estimates, right? You can pick them apart all day. But the cool thing you can do is you get up a few hundred feet, you get up a few, like a 3,000-foot tow to the ridge, and then you ride that ridge all the way to Mount Hood. So how much energy are you extracting? It's about, it turns out to about 15 mega, is that megajoules? Yeah. Megajoules. From the airflow.
Yeah.
Who uses megajoules? Are you nuts? So by, if you do that, if you extract that much energy from the wind, in 2 hours, it's the equivalent of about 2 kilowatts, which is, I'm not going to scroll back there, but 2 boats full of these athletic middle-aged women. You can imagine, you know, the haunted ghosts. You can imagine these women paddling you up the East Ridge as you're solo in a glider, right? So that's what it looks like. It's a pretty unique view from the air and over the blossoms. An amazing experience. And this is my last flight. My last slide is base to final. That's, you know, when you're here in a glider, you're going to land. With a powered plane, you might, you know, go around because you didn't like your approach. So the key is with the glider, base to final, managing energy in Big Orange. That's our trainer. And just make it a good one. That's all I have. Thank you.
Oh, just awesome.